Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hello, I'm Dr. Laura Murillo. Thank you for joining us at our State of Hispanics Data Summit at the Federal Reserve. Our special thanks to PNC and all of our sponsors as we present data and demographics about Hispanics in Houston.
On behalf of our nation's central bank, I want to extend a warm welcome to each of you. You know, we as the Dallas Fed try to create an economy where everyone has opportunities to thrive. And in order to do that, you have to have great relationships with community organizations like the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. In addition to those community relationships, we also rely on board members like Paul Murphy, who I know is going to be here later today, one of our former board members, our surveys, our data, and our councils. And speaking of councils, I would be remiss if I did not recognize Laura Murillo for serving on not one, but two Fed councils. She serves on our District Community Advisory Council, and then she serves on our Washington Community Advisory Council, where she regularly meets with the Fed governors and Chair Powell, and actually gives them advice on monetary policy and what's happening in the community. So without further ado, let me bring forward the president and CEO of the Houston Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Laura Murillo. Laura.
To the Fed, again, the importance of serving, especially on the Washington, D.C. Federal Reserve CAC board is critically important, because Houston has never had a representative. And these are conversations that are super important as we look at monetary policy, public policy, everything from PPP, idle child care, and for the first time, Houston has a voice. And so I partner with many of the CEOs and banks in this room to make sure, not only with them, but our entrepreneurs and others, so that we are providing them with information that is relevant to Houston and that we're hearing from you all. And so we have a seat at that table, and it's the first time in Houston's history. So my thanks to Darren and his team for nominating me to represent you and our community. Thank you again, Darren, for all you do.
My name is Julie Young-Sedeth, and I serve as the regional president for PNC Bank in Houston. I'm joined this morning by a number of my PNC colleagues in the room. Wave, everybody. Well represented, awesome team. As a Houstonian, I know that Hispanic Texans play a key role in population growth, meeting workforce needs, and contributing to our region's economic growth. And Houston is at the center of statewide progress. Putting data behind the economic impact of the Hispanic community is central to keeping our community informed and moving forward, and to making sure that adequate resources are being invested in Houston's growth.
And so before we call up Dr. Granato, we want to make sure that those of you, especially who are in roles where you have a decision-making capacity, to leave here with an understanding of the call for action. It's not just providing you with data. It's what you can do with it and how you can impact the economy. This is a business imperative. The fact that Hispanics now make up more than 36% of Houston's labor force. Think about that, 36%. The fact that per year, consumer spending among Hispanics in the Houston area is $54 billion per year. Think of just those two data points and what it means for your business. Whether you are a lawyer, a banker, a CEO of a corporation, or a small business, these numbers matter. Facts are facts. As I look across this room, I see potential corporate board members sitting in this room. Despite our numbers, we still only represent 2% of all corporate boards. That is unacceptable. So it's what we can do with this data and what we as individuals can do to continue educating ourselves, preparing ourselves, connecting, and that we are seen as value added. That it is about us collectively and individually, and that we use this data to make a difference. Thanks to our friends at Odyssey, CBS, and Univision, specifically now, next year we'll celebrate 15 years on radio and television on CBS KHOU 11. And all of the people we have been able to highlight, success stories, Hispanic or not. So we thank you, and it is time that we are part of the fabric of this tapestry in America and not just a threat. Dr. Granato, thank you.
It goes without saying that Hispanics have a significant impact on our region, our city, our region, our businesses, and our economy. They play a crucial role in population growth, meeting the state's workforce needs, contributing to taxes and spending, and holding substantial voting power. Dr. Maria was already going through some of the numbers, and I'm going to abuse that privilege by adding many more. Okay, let's start with the Houston Hispanic market. First thing, second bullet is very important. They make up, I'm going to round up from what Dr. Murillo said, it's high 30s, or the estimate we have is 42% of the Houston labor force. Substantial. The fourth point, bullet point, population made up 28% of the electorate in the metro area, as Dr. Murillo said. Another important point, as you look at the next bullet, there are more than 11,350 Hispanic-owned employer businesses in the Houston area, which represents 17 Hispanic-owned employer businesses for every 100 white employer-owned businesses. That ratio is actually higher in Houston than most other places, most big cities in the country. So we're doing better there than most other big cities. Okay, demographics. The Hispanics, the majority in Houston Hispanics are about 56% native-born, but 44% are not. That's quite substantial and has an impact I'll discuss a little bit later. You used to have a large immigrant population here. It's very important to underscore that. When it comes to age, Hispanics are the youngest demographic ethnic group in the Houston area. Between about one-third are under the age of 18, over 40% under the age of 44. And it has significant meaning for our future, but also some of the data we're going to look at in a second, particularly income. So the median age in Houston is roughly 35. We'll just cut it off there. The median age for whites is over 40. The mean age for blacks is, we'll say, about 35, roughly the median. And look at Hispanics, 30. But let's bore down a little bit more. That's 10 years younger than whites. Now think about yourself, just in terms of income. Did you make the same when you were 30, when you were 20? And that's going to affect a lot of the income data that we're going to look at. You have a younger population here, and that's going to affect a lot of these other data we're looking at. Employment participation, that's another figure we don't have yet, but we have this data. Hispanics, they're employed at higher numbers than non-Hispanics. The red line represents Hispanics. The gray line, I believe that's gray, represents non-Hispanics. Note that Hispanics always dominate. And in fact, that surge they have right now is the highest in 12 years. The drop, of course, was what? The pandemic. But notice, work is a big deal here. Okay, this one struck me. It was one of the bigger surprises, besides the age thing. I didn't realize there was that big a gap. Employment. So the red bar represents Hispanics. The gray bar represents non-Hispanics. Now, typically, Hispanics are in service occupations, a good proportion. But notice the changes in the last 12 years from 2010 to 2012. Hispanics have increased employment in virtually every sector. And it'd be interesting to go back to the 90s and see if we can get that data, see if this kind of pattern exists. But look at the section. It's one called Professional, Scientific, and Technical Services. That's where the degrees come in, your professional degrees. Look at the surge there in the last 12 years. So Hispanics are moving into those occupations that tend to have more income attached, in principle. In addition, they're moving into transportation and warehousing. Where you see a drop is in educational services, in manufacturing, and a little bit in retail trade. But these other ones where they're starting to surge, we're seeing surges, are in higher income occupations in general. Income differences between Hispanics and non-Hispanics. The red bar is Hispanic. The gray bar is non-Hispanic. Notice the gap. So in 2010, the gap was, what, $1,500, $1,400? In 2016, the gap was $1,700. And in 2022, the gap was $2,000. This is average monthly earnings, okay? Now, remember what I said about age? That's the first thing. The second thing is, notice that they're both increasing, both groups. It's not, if you take the fact that Hispanics the gap still exists and it's grown, but if you look at it, they still increased. And non-Hispanics, they didn't stand in place. Their incomes kept increasing too. But this gap, it's food for thought. You want that gap to be zero, in principle, but I'd like again to see what age, and I would like to see graduates from UH, graduate the same year, same degree, same GPA maybe. What happens to them over 10 years? And just separate by one thing, Hispanics and non-Hispanics, see what happens. Is the gap going to be there? Is the gap going to disappear? Household income, this fits with the idea of the average being about 50,000. And again, age, you can see that it's bottom heavy, it's skewed towards lower income compared to, when you see similar patterns, I mean, I guess you would see, the one thing that's interesting is the 25 to 49,000 category for Hispanics in Houston is much larger than it is for Texas and the United States more generally. Banking habits. Folks at PNC will be interested in this. Okay, I'll just summarize some of the things that after blacks, Hispanics, and Houston are the ethnic group who reported more people without banking access methods. There's a challenge for nonprofits and networks to start working on that type of literacy. Most Hispanics in Houston, nearly 54% did not have a credit card in the last 12 months compared to 23.5% of whites. So there's a gap there that, I mean, you don't want to give your teenager too many credit cards, but I mean, you do need credit cards once in a while, right? A couple other things that I want to point out here is, in terms of visiting a bank branch in the past 12 months, again, red means yes, gray means no. If you visit a bank branch in the last 12 months, whites, 80%, either in Houston, no difference. Blacks, 70% roughly. Hispanics, in Houston, 60%. In Texas, 68%. So there's a gap in between Hispanics, even in between our city and the state, where Houston is lagging there. And of course, the remaining group we have here is Asians. They're about 75%, 75. You got 74 in Texas, 78 in Houston. Average it out to about 75. So, but again, in this case, Latinos, Hispanics are lagging on just going to the bank. But that fits with the other patterns here. Policy issues. So we did a survey on various policy issues for the upcoming mayoral election. And what's interesting about this is Hispanics were the most pessimistic of the ethnic groups. Over 3/5 of Hispanics in Houston feel like Houston is heading in the wrong direction. 3/5. In terms of the issues that matter to you, it's violent crime, home and car break-ins, street conditions. Those are the top three issues. They had a negative effect on the quality of life in their neighborhoods. The top issues they also want to tackle, besides their neighborhood concerns, are crime, flooding, road and street conditions. Those are the three big ones. In terms of housing, there was support for increasing shelters, temporary housing. It was a significant concern, and that the mayor also needs to prioritize that. And I'll show you that slide in a second. So here's the slide that shows right direction, wrong direction. Red means right, gray means wrong. Now, notice they're more pessimistic than non-Hispanics. Hispanics are more pessimistic by about 12 points. Top priority issues. Again, just to show the picture that matches the words I spoke. Crime. Hispanics actually consider crime a bigger concern than non-Hispanics. You can see that's the gray represents non-Hispanics and the red represents non-Hispanics. It's the third. You can read it. So that's number one. Number two, again, is flooding. And again, it's different. It's not there. There's a slight gap between Hispanics and non-Hispanics here. And finally, road and street conditions. Hispanics view that as a bigger concern. There's others too, but those are the three I'm highlighting here. In terms of policy agenda and priorities, there were three things that Hispanics mentioned, and we compared them to non-Hispanics. Again, red represents non-Hispanic, gray represents Hispanic. So increasing shelters or temporary housing, Hispanics have roughly the same view as non-Hispanics. For more affordable housing units to get permits, Hispanics are a little less supportive, they're less supportive in this one. And finally, you can see there's the last gap is about 7 points between funding for rent or mortgage. Okay, my time is up, but I want to finish with this last thing. You'll see it on the slides. The Hobby School will be creating a dashboard. You can take all this data and just create maps and map with vulnerabilities. Thank you very much.
And to your team, thank you for the UH Hobby School of Public Affairs for the work that you've done in creating this data. We will be providing this. I know we have many members of the press here today. We will be sharing all of this data with you all. But again, from a standpoint of people who are in a decision-making capacity, Dr. Granato, help us understand why the data, especially our age, is important as it relates to the economy and jobs.
Age affects, as I've explained, for example, earnings, right? For example, in the 70s, peak earnings, not 50s, peak earnings was peaked mid-40s. Over the last 50 years, it went up to the mid-50s. And I haven't looked at it in a while, but so that tells you something. So you're over the course of your life, your income is going to rise. And so to get an appropriate read on some of these data, you want to factor in age, for example, to make sure you're looking at the people of the same age to see if there's any gaps there, because we're concerned about the gaps. So age is huge. Age also, demographically for this area, but for the country, is a driver for economic growth. Look at some of the nations around the world, their populations are aging. Japan, for example. 30 years ago, we were so afraid of them. The population, I think the median age here is like 50 now. And if you're worried about entitlements here, they're really worried about that. Because the younger people, there's not enough of them. China's now having the same problem. We hear all these stories today, but they're having a problem. But the point is, what age does, the younger your population, initially there's a period in which they're not going to be earning as much. They're dependent. But if that population is sufficiently large, they're going to carry you forward to greater economic growth, greater economic development.
And on that note, we look at other cities. Chicago is an example. They're not growing in population, but Houston continues to grow. And so we just look at corporations that are coming to the city of Houston. Certainly, given the workforce, that is a draw for Houston and for, again, the pocketbooks of Houstonians.
That's correct. It's not only that, but look at one of the policy issues is crime. My hometown, Chicago, there's a significant crime problem there. Companies are leaving. People are leaving. That's not happening here. I mean, we're a big city. We got big city problems, but we don't have the problem that they do in Chicago. And Hispanics recognize that. You saw the numbers. Crime's a big deal here. We want to be safe in our person, in our place, in our communities. And I think that issue is driving people away from some of these major cities. And so another issue is the financial issues, that pension issues. We've done a better job than Chicago has, for example. I'm picking on Chicago a lot right now. But in terms of pension reform, Mayor Turner made an effort. In Chicago, they've gone the other way.
So all of these issues are certainly percolating, and for the Hispanic Chamber, one of the things that we've continued to do is continue to have this data summit that we've held now for several years. We continue to get the data so that we can meet with CEOs and other influencers to let them know the demographics and understand that being Mexican-American is different from a Mexican immigrant, is different from someone from El Salvador, from Chile, Costa Rica, you name it. And often what occurs is that sometimes we're categorized, and there are benefits to being, as you put it, under an umbrella, which is Hispanic. And other times there are issues that particularly impact, for example, the Venezolanos who might be in Katy. And so help us understand the challenges for Hispanics as we are working with corporations and working with others to understand our community.
My look at the data and just some of the things where things are lagging is the network. Establishing relationships who aren't Hispanic but have certain places that you're not at yet and getting representation there or just contacts. The networking is going to matter hugely here in the Hispanic Chamber. I mean, you're the heavyweight champion.
Well, I was waiting for you to say something.
Thank you, Dr. Murillo. You are a force of nature, and I can't tell you how proud we all are and thankful for all that you do. And thank you for giving me some time this morning to kind of land the plane a little bit here. It's an honor to follow Dr. Junganato, and go Cougs. You make our school proud. You make us from the University of Houston very, very proud. So my perspective in the next few minutes will be more global, and if you're a CEO, know this is for you. I am talking to you. Because here we're going to land the plane, and what does this mean for business? So you notice the title, Telling the Latino Story Through Quality, Reliable Data. Yes, facts are facts, but facts tell a story, and facts tell a human story. We should never, ever forget that. So what does data do to help us tell that story? Well, it gives us visibility, it gives us structure, depth, and validation to who we are and the contributions we make to our economy and our society. Steve Forbes said, Latinos are the cavalry that is coming to the rescue of the American economy. And that is true. We have the data to prove it, but we must tell our story. When it's data-based, it is irrefutable. It transcends politics and it transcends opinion. But it all points to a human story. This is our time to tell the story, and we have the data to prove it. So thank you so much for your time, Dr. Murillo. Thank you.
We appreciate hundreds of people joining us today at the Federal Reserve as we presented data and why Hispanics in Houston are such a viable community and a business imperative. Our thanks to PNC, all of our sponsors. Thanks for watching.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.